Our scripture lesson today comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 1 through 20. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son and Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beast, and the angels waited on him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord, we ask right now that these words written, recorded, these actions that happened so long ago, that you made them relevant for our lives today, that you, through the power of your Holy Spirit, make these words come alive and speak to our hearts this morning. We ask that you clear away the cobwebs, the distractions, and swing open the doors of our hearts so that you can come in and speak to us in the way that only you can. Bless this time we have with you right now, Father. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. First, I should tell you all Happy New Year. I'm praying that each of you have a wonderful 2015. It is a chance for a new year, a new beginning. And just like last year, we started off 2014 going through 1 John. And I believe that was an 8-week study, 7 or 8 weeks, something like that. But it was a good way, I think, for the church to start off the new year, was going through a book like that. So this year, with a new year, a new beginning, a new season, we're going to go through another book, and it's going to be the Gospel of Mark. Now, Mark is pretty long. You know, it's a gospel. It's the entire life story of Jesus, pretty much. So I will be hitting the high points. I won't be reading the entire thing. So if you care to study it on your own, I certainly encourage you to do that. To sort of fill in the gaps in between the sermon and what we will be talking about here. Having said that, I'm not going to condense it too much. It's going to be a 14-week series that ends on Easter with the resurrection story. One of the benefits of the clergy retreat that Claire and I just came back from is that we get to talk to other pastors and kick around ideas and talk about what each other is doing. And one of the pastors there asked me what I was doing for the new year, and I told him, "Well, starting the first week, we're gonna journey through Mark up till Easter, a 14-week journey." And he looked at me and he said, "That's not a journey, that's a mosey." So, with apologies to Reverend Plaxico in Byron, Georgia, we will be calling this series our Mosey Through Mark, our 14-week study of the Gospel of Mark. Now, just as I said, the new year presents its opportunities for new beginnings, and many of us have resolutions, no doubt. Some of us have probably already broken our resolutions, no doubt. But With resolutions comes the opportunity to improve ourselves in some way, and we set goals for ourselves, just as I said in the children's sermon, and that's why we do them. But there's a different type of resolution I want to challenge you to make this year, and that is one of a mission goal, to find a mission that you can either plug yourself into or maybe even start. To figure out a way, and it could be something simple. I mean, it doesn't have to be big and elaborate, but to figure out a way in 2015 you can become involved in changing the world and making it more like the kingdom of God. That is a challenge that each of us should face really every year and every week, but I really want to talk about that today, because as we begin this study of Mark, we see that Jesus had a mission that he began, and Mark goes straight into it. One of the exercises Claire and I did on our retreat was they had us come up with a mission statement. And in order to do that, we had to go through this long process of identifying what was important to us, the passions we have, the people who are close to us, and we developed over the course of a few days a mission statement for our lives. Now, I'm not saying that y'all need to do that. It's a good exercise if you want to do that. It's a good idea. But I want us to take on that sense of duty, to find out what our passions are, what our talents are, what our strengths are, and see how we can apply them to God's work here on earth. Jesus starts off in the Gospel of Mark just going right into it. Other Gospels sort of take their time. The Gospel of Luke has this long nativity story that's very beautiful, and we use it a lot at Christmas time. The Gospel of Matthew starts off with a long genealogy of who begot who, all the way from Adam to Jesus, so that you know who everybody's great-grandfather was. Now, John starts off his gospel with this long theological narrative about in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But Mark is different. Mark is a gospel that just jumps right in. I mean, immediately, John is baptizing people, and then Jesus is coming to get baptized, and then he goes into the desert, and he is just off with a bang. His ministry, his mission, he is just out there doing it. And so this should be inspiring for us at the new year to recognize our mission and to just start it off strong. Now, it's important to pace ourselves, obviously. You don't want to burn out. That's what happens a lot of times with resolutions. We start off overly ambitious. We wear ourselves out right in the beginning, and then we quit. That happens with mission work, too. We take on too much. We are, I don't want to say overly passionate, but we try to do too much at once, and then we burn out. It's important to pace ourselves. Anybody who runs knows the importance of pace. If you start off running and you're sprinting that first, you know, quarter mile or whatever, you're going to get tired and you're not going to be able to go much further. But if you start off too slow, on the other hand, then later on when you want to pick up the pace, your body doesn't want to because you're not in rhythm to. So it's important to start not too fast, but to still start off well, at a good pace, so you can keep it going. It's the same thing with our work in the church, our work in the mission field, whatever it is. We don't want to burn ourselves out, but it is important to recognize where God needs us and to jump in and to set a healthy pace right away. Jesus started off strong here, as we can see. But if you notice something else about Jesus' ministry, about his mission, the very first thing he did was prepare himself spiritually. Before he did anything else, he went to be baptized, the Spirit came down upon him, and then he went out into the wilderness to listen to God, to talk to God. For 40 days he fasted. And that's because the spiritual preparation was the key step to starting his ministry. Now, just to get back to this analogy of running, anybody who runs, who does well, they prepare before they even start. They've got to get the right kind of running shoes. They've got to first know how far they're going to go, or at least have an idea. They've got to stretch. If they're going to listen to music, they're going to prepare their playlist. All these steps go into preparing before they begin. And it was the same thing with Jesus and his ministry. And so it should be the same thing for us. Before we start any kind of work in the mission field, we have to be able to listen to God, to hear his voice, to communicate with him. Once we do that, we can better identify what our strengths, what our talents are, and learn how God wants us to apply them. If you have strengths or you have talents, you may or may not know what they are, but God can use them for something else, for a ministry, to make this world a better place, to advance his kingdom here on earth. But you will never discover how to use that if you're not spending time listening to him, if you're not spending time talking with him. That spiritual preparation is vital. We have to do that first in order to understand his will for us. Now, throughout the year, if you have trouble understanding how you could use your talents, or if maybe if you have a passion but you don't know what to do about it, I just want you to know I'm here for you at any time. If you want to come talk to me, pray with me, whatever it is, I would like to help you nurture those gifts or nurture those passions and figure out how we can direct them. That's just an open invitation if you want to figure out what you can do this year as far as setting goals for the kingdom of God. But the first step is always spiritual preparation, learning to hear God's voice. Now, after that, after Jesus heard God's voice, went into the wilderness for 40 days and prepared himself, then he took the next steps. Then he went and he recruited, he identified his resources, he said, I need followers, and he went and he told the disciples, follow me. Now, not all of us are going to be leaders. Some of us are going to be followers. The disciples, God did wonderful work through the disciples. The church exists today because of the followers of Jesus. But they were his followers. They didn't lead. And just as Jesus heard God's voice before he began his mission, they heard God's voice through Jesus. And they too were off with a bang. They dropped their nets, jumped out of the boat, and went with him. Sometimes our work in the ministry isn't about having this grand vision and then getting other people to do it. Sometimes it's about recognizing when God is speaking to someone else and then helping them. But we will never know what our role in that is if we aren't first listening for the voice. It always starts with hearing the voice. So in 2015, what can we do to quiet ourselves? To break away from the distractions. What are the things in your life that are going on all around you that are keeping you from hearing the voice of God? What are the things that are drawing your attention away from what you could be doing for his plan, his will in your life? Sometimes it's not always things going on around us. It is a lot of times that, but sometimes it's things going on inside us. What is inside you that may be keeping you from hearing the voice of God? Is there guilt there? Is there anger, fear? Is there self-consciousness, self-loathing? What is in you that is keeping you from hearing what God is trying to tell you and how he is trying to direct you? These are the things that we need to consider for the next year. What is around us and what is inside us that is keeping us from hearing the voice of God as he tries to direct us into something greater? We begin each week with worship. We begin each year with resolutions. It's a great thing. I've heard people say that they end their day with quiet time because they're able to reflect at the end of the day, spend time with God and reflect. And I'm not taking anything away from that. I'm sure that can be wonderful. But there is something to be said with starting your day off with God. There's something to be said for beginning your day with prayer, with scripture reading, because it prepares the mind for what's ahead. And for the rest of the day, you're thinking in a way that you wouldn't have otherwise. It is making a commitment first thing that I'm going to walk with Jesus today. And so this is a daily step that we take, just as at the beginning of each week we begin with a worship service. It's to prepare us for the coming week. And so to step back even further, we look at the year and we think, how can we begin? How can we start this year off right? How can we commit our minds and our hearts to following Jesus so that we can do what he wants us to? Resolutions are great. They make us better people. They improve us. Mission goals are even better because they make the world a better place while allowing God to make us more Christ-like. But regardless of what kind of goals we are setting for ourselves this year, the first step is the most vital, and that is one of spiritual preparation. And we do well to take a cue after Jesus, to listen for God's voice and God's direction, to allow him to identify for us what it is that we can be doing for his kingdom. Let us seek him and his kingdom first this year, and we can trust that he will set us on the right path.